Good evening. This is the Pacifica National Board's Finance Committee. This is our regular meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the secretary of the committee. The committee does not have a chair at this time. So as secretary, I'm convening this meeting. And the first order of business for the meeting will be a roll call. Please answer up when you hear your name. Ken Aaron. Ken? Ken? All right, we'll come back for Ken. Nick Arena.
Here.
Chris Corey said he wouldn't be here. Joseph Davis said he wouldn't be here. William Heerwagon.
Present.
Was that Heerwagon?
That was Heerwagon, present.
Okay. Tony Leon. Max C. Jackson III.
Present.
R. Paul Martin, here. P.K. McCary.
Here.
Mansoor Sabah.
Present.
Okay, going back up. Ken Aaron, are you here? All right, well, we're counting. Ken isn't here at the moment, but he was here before. He'll probably be back. All right, that's six, and that is a quorum. All right, the first order of business we need to do is adopt an agenda, and I'll read what I've proposed, and we'll be putting some changes in there possibly. One, roll call, which we just did. Two, approve agenda. Three, elect chair pro tem, 5 minutes. Four, minutes approval, 5 minutes. Five, report from the executive vice president of NIDA, 20 minutes. Six, question and answer with the executive vice president of NIDA, 15 minutes. Seven, reports on budgets from each unit. And here I haven't filled in the timing, but it will be National Office, KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, WBII, WPFW. Now, we have from WPFW and KPFK draft budgets, draft FY19 budgets. And so I would suggest that for WPFW and KPFK, we put in 45 minutes for each of those budgets. And for the others, I would think, since it's looking like we're squeezing things a bit here, I would say maybe 5 minutes for each of the others. Does anybody find that a bad idea? Or, you know, before we make a formal motion out of this, does 45 for the two that have budgets and 5 for the others sound okay?
I think you have to approve the agenda first and then amend it.
No. I am, before we make the motion, I am asking if that little thing I just put out there has any objections so far. If not, then I'll make that as the motion, and then we will probably amend this anyway. So is there any gigantic desire to have a fight over that? Hearing none, I'm going to, oh gosh. All right, I'm going to put that in there. Hold on a second while I type with one hand and do something else with the other. All right, so I move that we adopt the following agenda. And hold on a second. Okay. I move that we adopt the following agenda. One, roll call. Two, approve agenda. Three, elect chair pro tem, 5 minutes. Four, minutes approval, 5 minutes. Five, report from the executive vice president of NIDA, 20 minutes. 6, Q&A with the Executive Vice President of NEDA, 15 minutes. 7, reports on budgets from each unit, to include National Office, 5 minutes, KPFA, 5 minutes, KPFK, 45 minutes, KPFT, 5 minutes, WBAI, 5 minutes, WPFW, 45 minutes, new business, and adjourn no later than 10:30 p.m. So, well, somebody's got a really buzzy thing on here.
Yeah, that's Ken. I'll switch to another phone as soon as I can. But I am here. I think I missed the roll call.
Yes, you did.
One point of information.
Before we go, you said executive vice
president. I didn't understand that.
Yeah. At the last meeting, Anita Sims of NETA said that she would attend this meeting. And so I put that in there.
Okay.
And now if she doesn't show up, okay, we can just, you know, go past that or whatever. She may be calling in at some point. On the other hand, we also have the new executive director of Pacifica here, and we should probably spend some time talking to Mr. Jackson. So,
right.
Do I hear any kind of an amendment to the agenda to add, to put Mr. Jackson on the agenda, and for what amount of time and where to put it?
I'll make an amendment to add Mr. Jackson right before the part where you said the executive vice president, to inquire what his concerns are and what he needs from the finance committee.
10 or 15 minutes, which one?
10 minutes.
Okay, hold on. Okay, as folks may remember, I have no landline and I'm borrowing a cell phone and I have to put it down and pick it up. All right, so the motion from Ken is to add an executive director report for 10 minutes before the NETA report.
Put your phone on a speaker so you don't have to hold it.
Okay.
Oh no, this doesn't do that. This is not that advanced. All right. Okay, so the amendment is to add an executive director report for 10 minutes before the NETA report. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing no objection to that, assuming that coughs were not an objection. We have that. We've adopted that that particular thing, that particular amendment. All right. Are there any other amendments or any discussion regarding the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as amended? Hearing none, that agenda is adopted. So the next item we go to is elect chair pro tem.
I nominate Art Paul.
Oh, godlessness. Is there any possibility we could have somebody else doing this?
Is that just for tonight?
Yeah, it's just
for tonight. It's a pro tem. I'll volunteer.
I'll vote for you.
Okay. Is any other volunteers?
Well,
just for tonight.
Geez, you're not chair pro tem yet, so hold on a minute, Ken.
Okay.
All right, so we have... Ken, but you're going to get something that doesn't buzz, right?
Is it still buzzing?
Not right now, no. All right, so
okay.
Who nominated Ken?
I did.
Who's I?
Ken. Who volunteered.
Ken volunteered.
And I second his kingship.
All right. Well, why don't I make it you? Okay. So Mansoor nominates Ken. All right. Are there any other nominations for chair pro tem of this meeting? Going once, going twice, going three times. Hearing no other nominations, is there any objection to Ken Aaron being the chair of this meeting? Hearing none, Ken, you have the chair.
Okay, first action is, can you email me personally a copy of the agenda?
It's in the email.
No, you just made modifications to it.
Okay. Sure, I'll do that.
Thank you. And I believe the next item is approval of the minutes, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So these are the minutes for the previous meeting of the 9th of the 11th of...
It's for the last meeting.
Yeah, the 11th of September.
9/11, yes, that's the meeting. And so...
Okay. So the question is, does anybody have any changes or comments about the minutes for the last meeting?
Well, the first thing is I move to approve the minutes of the September 11th, 2018 meeting.
Okay. All right. So I'll accept that motion. Is there any objection to that motion?
Not I.
Okay, it's without objection. The minutes are approved. So our next order of business then is to
executive director
have
report.
The report from the new executive director. And Maxie or Mr. Jackson, which do you prefer?
Maxie's fine.
Okay, Maxie. Could you give us in your report a brief background of your employment history and your experience with radio and the media?
Sure.
That's all. Go ahead and take the time you need.
Hey. Well, I'll make it as short and sweet as possible because I don't think it's the more important thing for me to talk about tonight, but I appreciate the opportunity to do it. I've been in media for over 30 years professionally. Started my career in live event production as a script writer for special events, working with folks like Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra, and Dionne Warwick, among others, a lot of celebrity-type activity. Shortly after that, did an entrepreneurial startup company in Philadelphia with Wharton graduates called MEE Productions. The company was a video production company at first, but it morphed into a strategic communications firm, publishing a document that went worldwide called Reaching the Hip-Hop Generation, the first of its kind research documenting how to reach effectively urban youth. After 6 years of that, and in between getting my master's degree at Michigan State University in telecommunications, I did a stint of television jobs, working for Black Entertainment Television in Washington, D.C., Buena Vista Studios out in Los Angeles, California. In between those two jobs, began my public radio career, working for WEAA in Baltimore, Maryland as a marketing director. Returned to that position after a year in Hollywood and became general manager at the time, and held that position for roughly 7 years. In between, for maybe 6 months, I worked at XM Satellite Radio and helped launch that service. But in the meantime, went back to WEAA in Baltimore and served as the general manager, like I said, for 7 years. Was able to increase revenue by 300% for that station audience. Went from 80,000 to over 140,000. Became Jazz Station of the Year nationwide and won several awards from the Baltimore City magazine, newspaper, I should say, as best radio station over several years while I was in that position. That position, that opportunity sort of launched my notoriety in the field. Did a lot of public speaking, asked to serve on boards. I served on the Development Exchange Incorporated Board of Directors for 6 years. They are now called Greater Public, but it is the vanguard, if you will, for development and revenue generation within the public and community media system. In addition to that, and I'm sorry for the background noise, in addition to serving on that, I left Baltimore and went to Washington, D.C. to work for WETA, where I served as the program director for a conversion of a classical and news format into the first global news format in public media, drawing a lot of content from the BBC and other parts of the world. Had the fortune of traveling to London to the BBC and being indoctrinated to some of their work on digital and radio platforms. And so brought that knowledge back and implemented the format. That parlayed into an opportunity to go to New York City and work at WNYC and be the senior director of program development, where I served in a role where I got to develop the research methodology, the program architecture, and hire the staff for a new national morning show to compete with Morning Edition, which later became an afternoon program called The Takeaway, which still airs today. After a successful stint there, I moved and accepted the position as the president and CEO of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. And NFCB, as it's known, is a community radio network of stations. It's a membership organization. I served as the president and CEO for roughly 3 years there. After that, did some consulting under the banner of MaxWorks Media, working with public television and public radio stations throughout the country, before taking a position as the station manager and program director at WCPN in Cleveland, Ohio. Did that for roughly 4 years and returned to Maryland, where I am currently in Rockville, Maryland, and obviously have become the executive director of the Pacifica Foundation. So that's a quick and dirty on my career. Went to undergraduate school at Morehouse College, graduate school at Michigan State University. Both my degrees are in broadcasting and or telecommunications, so information superhighways, they called it then, the web, and radio, traditional terrestrial and television, terrestrial television broadcasting, and with an emphasis on management in both. And so that's my academic and professional background in a nutshell.
Well, thank you very much. Could you go on to tell us what you know about Pacifica and any viewpoint or considerations, or most importantly, what you want from the board or from the finance? This is the National Finance Committee. What you would want from us to deliver to you?
Yeah. Well, obviously, my transition with Tom Livingston has been brief. Was literally signed my contract the end of last week and had about a week and a half, if you will, on a day-to-day contract to provide a bit of a transition with Tom. He and I met once in person and obviously several times by phone, and he has shared a lot of information. At the same time, I will let you know that it, as you can imagine, has been a flood of information. And so I feel like one of the most important things the Finance Committee could do for me is not only provide me with a clear understanding of when your meetings are regularly scheduled and the call-in number, because neither was really available for me, at least at this point, but also a real clear picture of the financial situation for the foundation, the stations, obviously archives, but for Pacifica on a whole. And what I mean by that is I need the 300-foot view. I think what's difficult for me so far in this transition is really getting the big picture. I haven't really seen anything that kind of says these are the pillars of financial concern, activity that Pacifica is governed under or is dealing with, and these are the things that need to be done in each. These are the contacts for those areas. These are the people you have to deal with, et cetera. It just hasn't been that clear. And that's why I wanted to be on this call tonight, hoping that I would get some insight. I have had a one-on-one conversation with the folks at NIDA. So I was able to glean, I've had two conversations with them, so I've been able to glean some information. I've reviewed their services and their recent submission of a proposal. So I'm up to speed on that. I was fortunate enough to sit in on a finance meeting amongst the stations, and we'll be conducting one tomorrow as well. In fact, two of them, because of some concerns expressed by some of the member stations about the NIDA agreement, even though they haven't seen it. So those are the things that I would say are my needs from the Finance Committee. That would be the best thing for me, is just to get a real big picture of what's going on and then be able to whittle that down into columns, if you will, so I can understand how to make it work. Because clearly I know this is a very vital aspect of the organization moving forward. I didn't answer your question about Pacifica. Clearly, having had my experience in the field for some 20 years and in particular working at NFCB, I have been familiar with the Pacifica network and WPFW in particular, because I've lived in Washington, D.C. so many different times. And so I'm familiar with that, WBX, some more extent because of a stint in New York, obviously, but less so the other stations, even though when I was the president of NFCB, we traveled to Houston for one of our conferences, and I was fortunate to visit the station, KPFT at the time, when we were down there. So I have some cursory understanding. Clearly, the Pacifica comes with a reputation. It doesn't scare me, but I'm clearly aware that there's some reasons for that reputation. So I'm eager to get in, do the work, and hopefully move us beyond some of the things that have created paralysis at times, and dysfunction, and oftentimes not allowed us to maximize the great opportunity, I think, that Pacifica represents in terms of public service. So I'll leave it at that for now.
Okay, I think it's more appropriate if we take some questions. Anybody want to be on the stack?
Here, Nick Arena,
Mr.
back.
Nick,
and
who's next?
Mr. Chair, can I point out that we've run out of time on this particular item? We can, of course, extend.
Okay, we can extend the time on this. Let's extend the time. Oh, well, somebody make a motion to extend for 10 or 15 minutes.
I move to extend for 10 minutes.
Okay, any objections to extending for 10 minutes? Okay, hearing none, we're extending for 10 minutes. So on the stack, I have Nick. Who else?
PK.
Oh, okay, PJ. Anybody else? Okay, Nick, go ahead.
Sure, thank you. So welcome, Maxie, and thank you for being on the call tonight. Not a question, but to address your question of us of a little bit of a higher level view, I think you've gotten a sense that each of the stations basically runs its finances autonomously, and that is somewhat autonomously with respect to their budget. However, the National Finance Committee is tasked with approving the budgets and recommending them to the PMB, but unfortunately in the last fiscal year we haven't been able to do that. I think the greatest, so we run our budget. WPFW is working hard against its own budget projections, even though it wasn't approved by the Finance Committee or the PMB last year, and we're doing the same this year. I think the biggest challenge that the National Finance Committee sort of faces and the network faces is that we do have obligations that are for our foundation obligations. A loan that was taken earlier this year and ongoing obligations of administrative expenses, et cetera. And the Finance Committee really hasn't been able to get its hands around the data to help assess what the and make recommendations to the foundation in general about that, nor have we been in a recommending role over the last year. We've been in more of a observational role as the PNB has really sort of taken the lead on matters of finance. And so I think what we would really be helpful for us is to be able to obtain information from the national office that we could use in our work to be able to be in that advise and consult role. And as we go through this 2019 budget process, to be able to understand what, again, the obligations of the local stations will be for the debts that have been incurred throughout the system. So just want to make sure that you are aware of the loan, of what the repayment structure at this point is, and if you've gotten any insights about how that loan will be repaid.
Yeah, thanks for the statement. I am familiar with the fact that there is this loan out there. I have a very cursory, limited understanding of the details of it, although I'm sure that will increase significantly in the coming weeks. It's obviously of immediate concern. So I will certainly get down and dirty in understanding that so that we can create some opportunities to deal with it and generate the revenue necessary to make good on the loan. In addition to that, as I said when I interviewed for the position, I'm a big advocate of best practices. I am certainly looking at hoping to reduce costs by finding ways to benefit from, if you will, the network effect. I know that the stations enjoy or desire financial autonomy. I think that they can maintain that and still benefit from some unified back-end services. I know that's in large part what NIDA represents with their proposal. There has been some concerns, as I mentioned earlier, expressed about that. So I'm fielding those questions tomorrow morning in hopes to have a more informed understanding, not only of the politics involved, the concerns involved, legitimate and not, but also being able to assess just how deeply the relationship with NIDA should be so that the stations don't feel threatened or infringed upon, because we certainly don't want to violate that. I'm very respectful of the desire for that autonomy. But I also know that one of the things we need to achieve is some consistency in the way that we conduct business across the board, so that it is easier for us to do the audits, it's easier for us to do reporting, and to make sure that our financials are consistent and credible so that we don't become, we don't lose our CPB funding, if you will. So I'll be quiet and listen, but thank you for the information, and you gave me a lot of good stuff to chew on. Thank you for that.
Okay, thank you. PK?
Hi, I want to welcome you as the new ED, quite surprising, and wanting to be as supportive as I can. I am the treasurer of KPFT's Finance Committee. Uh-huh. I am not ever anymore on the LSB.
Okay.
But the problems that we had, my way to solve them was the interim general manager and the then before ED, we had some political problems, seriously. I didn't feel like I made a difference, but we have done a budget that we're sending to the LSB this week for approval. And so I'm quite happy with that. And the way that I did that was made it accessible to the staff rather than having them come to us after work, because with short staffs, sometimes they don't want to go to another meeting. And
right.
While I didn't get any real reports from the interim general manager at the time, the business manager and I found a rhythm of working together, and I think we were able to, even though it was a huge hurdle, finally get a budget that we could recommend that includes paying the foundation's debt and our commitment to that. And I'm hoping that in my report to them this weekend that I'm able to say that. So my question to you is, how can I support you, and how do you intend to support me in this toxic system of control that continues to hemorrhage our membership and our funding, including not getting CPP for a while? I'm also working with the CAB to reinstate that. So how can you help me, and how can I help you?
Well, first of all, thanks for the question and the greeting. I manage the Community Advisory Board at WCPN and have a lot of respect for your work there, having done it myself. I think it's a vital gateway to the aspirations, needs, and wants and desires of the community. I think that kind of ascertainment is crucial. It's tragic to me that Pacifica stations would lose, at least partly lose, their CPB funding because of the lack of announcement of public meetings. That just seems so out of place for an organization that's so built on relationship with community. But perhaps I'll learn more about that as I move forward. I don't know if I can answer how best I can help you at this stage, because I feel like I'm still deeply learning who the players are. One of the things I asked for when I first got in place is for a listing of staff at each of the stations, contact information, phone, email. I still have not received that. That's fine. I'm going to still work to get it, and I'm not concerned about getting it, but I still don't have that. So it's a little difficult for me. I'm introduced to people all the time, first name only, no affiliation with station. So there's some basic communication that needs to happen differently amongst us, I think, for us to work more efficiently and effectively. So what would be really beneficial for me is for you to nudge the folks there at KPFT, and I'm saying this really to all the stations on this call tonight, to make sure that I get a copy of the roster of folks at your shop, who's doing what, and how I can maintain contact with them. Because what I'd like to do is establish a series of meetings with the folks in the different roles, again, towards creating more consistency across the network. I'm a big advocate of, like I said earlier, of best practices. I've seen how useful and beneficial they can be. And it is, I think, one of the major reasons why the Pacifica Network has struggled. Because best practices are not employed enough, whether it's fiduciary, whether it's in programming, whether it's engagement strategies, marketing, operations, governance, we get in this quagmire. It feels to me, and this is what I've obviously, it's been shared with me, we get into these quagmires where we don't get much done because we're arguing and fighting about process and procedure and not getting to the real work, and that is being community media organizations providing great public service towards the progressive mission that we all hold dear to. So I hope I'm answering your question, even though I know I'm kind of going around the way. I want to be as transparent and open with all aspects of the organization. I also know that trust has been a big problem amongst leadership at the foundation level and amongst the stations back and forth. I think if we can create more transparency and open operation and use more third-party players so that the politics is set to the side, I think we might be in better shape, but I could be proved wrong on that, and I've seen where that doesn't always work, but I'm still faithful that if we put some best practices in, and I can sell folks on the efficiency and effectiveness argument, I think we might see some wins happen. So, again, I apologize if I didn't answer your question directly. I think it might be too early for me to give you a concrete answer, but that's how I see me being effective in this position.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else to the stack? All right. Well, thank you very much, Maxie. Oh, R. Paul, go ahead.
Yes. Mr. Jackson,
yes,
well,
sir.
About the CPB stuff,
yeah.
It isn't that some of the stations don't get it. It's that Pacifica doesn't get it, period. Largely,
yeah.
Wow, that buzz is really loud. The Pacifica doesn't get it at all because we haven't been able to produce audits in a timely manner for years and
right.
years. And then on top of that, there are also some issues with things like some stations not meeting the criteria CPB has for total listenership, and I believe there have been in the past some issues regarding not giving proper notice of meetings, which I don't know if that's current or if that's all in the past. So we have more than one issue with CPB, and we've been missing out on probably millions of dollars over the past number of years, mostly because we can't get our audits done.
Yeah, Paul, if I may, I completely am aware of the three areas that you talked about and agree completely with you, that they should be low-hanging fruit and easy for us to get over. What I would say is the listening issue is purely because, as I said when I was interviewed for the position, you cannot operate with patch quilt programming in this day and time and expect to generate audience. That methodology is a relic of a day gone by. There are no successful stations I know of in terms of audience that have patch quilt programming schedules. It's almost impossible because we've become a much more user-driven approach to content. And I think we're missing the boat if we're not programming and scheduling our stations more effectively. But we've addressed the issue of communication of our public meetings. Again, I think that's something that we can easily conquer. The audits, we're working very quickly. I know Tom did a lot of good work working with you all and others to move that along. I'm expecting once we secure our relationship with NEDA that those things will come up to speed. In terms of CPB, I've had a long-standing relationship with them. Pat Harrison, the current president, I consider a friend. She is the one who gave me the money to bail out NSCB when we were under the verge of bankruptcy and collapse. I made a case. She thought it was viable. They funded us, and for 3 years we operated in a way that got us out of that financial quagmire, and we actually operated in the black all 3 years that I ran the organization. So I'm not worried about having an opportunity to present Pacifica to CPB and making the case for us to be reinstated. You're right, we're missing out on millions of dollars a year, and I would argue it's probably more than that, because I think if we were to get our stations to where they should be in terms of audience, the return from CPB would even be greater. And so that's one of my primary goals, is to increase the value of our content so that consumers are using us more, membership increases, and we're able to qualify for CPB in the way that we should. So thanks for your comment. And I'm hip to it and ready to go.
Well, thank you. Is there anybody else on the stack to talk to Maxie? Okay, well, thank you. Maxie, this is important. How can we contact you? Right now, I sent an email to ed@pacifica.org. Is that your main? Okay.
No,
so that's,
I'm glad you asked. No, I'm glad you asked, because by Friday, the ed@pacifica.org will be active for me. It is not currently. Tom Livingston still has that address, so I don't receive those unless
you
forward them to me.
Okay, but pardon me a moment. Do not. We're being broadcast now, so rather than you're telling us what email to send before Friday, if you could just send an email to, I don't know who you send the email
to. Send it to me. Everybody's got my email address anyway.
All right. Who's saying that?
You.
I didn't hear.
You can send it rpm@glib.com. I'm the secretary of the committee. I'll send it to everybody else, and the whole world has my email anyway, so I will not get any more spam from that.
So it's rpm@glib.com, right?
Right.
I have it, and I will send that to you this evening. But what
okay,
I will
very
say
good.
To you who know, everything that was previously possessed by the executive director as contact information, I will be fully functional with come Friday.
Okay, one last question that I'm chairing a meeting, but I did have a question. Are you going to be operating basically out of the D.C. area?
Yeah, great question. As I did when I was president of NFCB with the headquarters in the Bay Area, I will do the same thing with Pacifica. I do expect to travel frequently to the home office and to visit the stations consistently enough to not only understand their rhythms and the folks working there, but to make sure that my presence is felt and across our network. I expect to deal with the archives and hopefully get to visit many of the affiliate stations as well. So I find D.C. to be a real valuable location to operate from because it is sort of a central hub for the public media, community media industry. With CPB here, so many people come through to spend time that I often can pick them off and have meetings while they're visiting CPB. So I've always found it a useful place to locate.
So in other words, from that location, you can be more effective as a lobbyist with government agencies, et cetera.
That too, correct. That's true.
Okay, thank you. Last call. Anybody else want to be on the queue to ask a question? Okay, well, on behalf of the committee and everybody else at Pacifica, welcome aboard. We're very glad to have you.
I deeply appreciate it. I appreciate you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, let's go on with our meeting. So, R. Paul, I don't know. I can't get my hands on the agenda, but I think the next thing is to start working on the budget. So,
no, the next thing, Ken, I sent you the email, so I sent it to the committee mailing list, so you should have it. The next thing is report from the executive vice president of NIDA. If she's not here,
yeah.
If she's not here, we'll just go on.
Is that Nita? I mean, is that Annette? Anita, rather.
She's not on the call.
She's not on the call.
Why don't we
okay,
go
well,
to the next item and then...
The next item would be budgets. Okay, R. Paul, I think we can move...
The next thing is reports on budgets from each unit, and the first unit is national office. And if nobody's here from that, we can keep skipping until we get to somebody who's here.
Okay, well, let's skip that because we just have a newly appointed ED who's covering a CFO, and that's the national office, and that's all we have. So I don't anticipate he would give us any kind of an update on the national office. So let's go
Not
to the next
time.
One. Next one would be KPFA. I don't believe there's anybody on the call from KPFA, is there?
Yeah, Mr. Brooks is here.
No, KPFA. KPFA.
Okay, I do apologize.
Yeah, okay. So I do know I listened into, this is Ken, I happen to have listened into one of their recent LSB meetings, and their LSB did approve the budget. So that's the only update I can give you on that. That's for KPFA. You can all listen to the meeting. I think it was September 11th or something. I don't know what date it was, but it's up on kpftx.org. They approved the budget. So next is KPFK, and I'm the treasurer, and I did send in the draft budget that was generated by Barry Brooks and our general manager, and you should all have that. Let me pull it up. And in that distribution, when I sent that letter, I summarized. Let me get this up here. And Barry, are you on the call? Barry Brooks is the business manager from KPFK. Are you there, Barry?
Yes, I'm here. Barry Brooks is here, present.
Okay, so so he's on the call, so let me pull up the budget if I can. There we go. I think this is it. Yeah, I sent out a copy that has comparisons to projected activity from 2018, so we could see what the 2019 budget would look like in comparison to 2018's, you know, as much as we have as recorded activity and stuff. And the bottom line is that we come out with a slightly positive in the black net gain in terms of this budget. And let me try to get a hold of that here. Accounts, there it is, total expenses. Yeah, a net of $178,612 positive. So that's the basic story. And the big question on that is revenue. How much revenue are we anticipating? And we're anticipating $3,123,095 in fiscal year 2019. And that's a little bit, that's about what's projected for 2018. So it's in the same order of magnitude. It's higher than 2017 was, I believe, but it's still in the same order of magnitude, about $3 million. So it's not like grossly exaggerated. So with that, the expenses being budgeted and so forth, we're still in the black. And that's it. You have the budget. That's as much as I could tell you. Barry, do you want to give us any further detail or commentary on the budget?
No. Well, in this budget, as you know, it doesn't include how we're going to pay back the loan and who's going to pay it back as far as the five stations. WBAI is the one that got us into trouble, but they have the least amount of revenue. They have the least amount of revenue to take care of the loan payment, paying it back, even when the interest payments start back. So we need to address that, and I think Maxie, maybe he has some great ideas as to how we're going to start paying that back. So,
okay, just let me correct one thing, Barry. The obligation is Pacifica's obligation. It isn't WBAI's obligation. It's
well, I know that, but I'm just saying
a network obligation.
The five stations have to pay back the loan. That's what that's my understanding.
Yeah. So okay. My question, there is one question, and I have, and then I'll see if anybody on the queue. Do you know what month in 2019 we are obligated to start making interest payments on the loan?
It might be December or November.
Of 2018? Is that sound like Mansoor?
2019.
Oh, that's Mansoor.
Yes.
So you're saying until, as far as you understand from the from the loan agreement, we prepaid the loan through November or December of 2019.
Yeah, the first 18 months I paid for. So from March to March of next year, 1 year, and add six more months to it. So that might be September or October. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just one other point of information. This budget has not yet been approved by the LSB at KPFK. So if there's any questions, anybody on the queue that have questions about the budget that they want to put to Barry? No questions.
R. Paul?
R. Paul. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Oh boy, almost dropped the phone. All right, so switching over to it, the net income, the net revenue is 178, and wow, it's quite a buzz. And you're saying underneath that on line 42, it says add back depreciation expense 63, and then you give a surplus of 241. You're going to include depreciation, right? You're not, because I mean, you're not like trying to wipe out depreciation, are you?
Grace?
No, depreciation is included,
Grace?
In this schedule.
If you're off the call, please bring me that phone.
Oh, okay. All right, so what is line 42 about?
That's adding back depreciation expense.
Could you expound on that? Because, you know, not most of us are accountants. What does that mean?
Well, you have, during the year, you have depreciation expense, and then at the end of the year, you deduct it. It's like a wash. You don't actually count it as part of revenue.
Of course not.
Right.
So in the real world... In other words, you have some assets that are losing their value.
Correct.
And at the end of the year, you've lost $63,000 worth of value from your typewriters and computers and soda machines or whatever it is you have that's a physical asset. And therefore, you're saying you add that back in to increase the income surpluses fault.
Okay. Nick for the stack.
You can't
okay.
do that.
Okay, one second. So, R. Paul, are you done? Okay,
well,
let's go to Nick. Let's go to Nick and then back to R. Paul.
Let me help. Depreciation is a non-cash expense. The reason why Barry's adding it back to the net income at the end of the year because you don't actually write a check to anybody for depreciation. Therefore, you didn't expend any cash. And in determining how much cash is available for any given station to pay its expenses and to pay back any loan, you always add back depreciation because it's a non-cash expense. So there's no depreciation checks being written. It's merely, as Ken has indicated, is a reduction in the value of assets, but it's not a reduction in the cash expenses. I'm sorry, it's not a reduction in revenue. It's not a cash expense for any corporation.
Okay, anybody
yes,
else? Do you want to go back on this?
Could I just say, yes, I get that, but I wanted to make sure that it's in there because the auditors have dinged us every single time we've, you know, left it out. So I wanted to make sure it is definitely in there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely in there, yes.
All right. Anybody else on the queue for the KPFK budget? Now, for the next NFC meeting, KPFK will have an LSB meeting, and the budget will be presented to them for approval. So if we're meeting in a month, that is. And so our next meeting, we'll get a chance to approve it. So anybody on the committee now can review this and see if they have any detailed questions they want to inquire about. I wouldn't wait till the next meeting to bring those questions up. If you see something unusual in the budget or something you want to challenge, send an email to me, because I'm the treasurer at KPFK. We certainly appreciate any oversight from anybody, and we'll try to deal with it or remedy it. Okay, anybody else on the queue for the KPFK budget? Okay, let's move on then. Thank you, Barry, but don't go away. The next budget we were going to consider, R. Paul, is...
KPFT.
KPFT. Okay, so we got PK for that. Okay, PK, you have the floor.
We have passed a budget, and of course we're in the red. And part of the reason for being in the red was the lack of fund drives. It was reduced by two, and the goal was decreased by $100,000 in two cases. And so we realized that a new general manager, and with thinking and development and programming and outreach, that deficit can be returned. But of course, you know that when you're doing budgets based on what you've made, 2017 and 2018, we didn't do bad, but we didn't do good. And so we can make that, and again, we haven't had CPV funding in anywhere in any of our stations. I would prefer to give these numbers to our LSB because I have a feeling that there's going to be a bit of a battle for one member of the committee thinking that we've grossly exaggerated our potential. After talking with the acting general manager and the business manager, we don't think so. But I'm happy that while it's taken us 7 months, we have a budget that we can be proud of, and we can add to our budget for the debt of the foundation what we think we can do based on our size and our membership, et cetera. But that we won't know what that is until we're given the exact numbers for that. That's about all I can tell you right now. We are getting a general manager, so that's an extra cost. But we've gotten rid of some of our contractors so that our salaries can be met and our work can be done. And if you have any questions, I'm open and ready for that.
Okay, anybody on the stack now to talk to PK about the budget for KPFT? Anybody? Am I on the line here? Yes, it must be. I heard.
You're not the only one. We're listening.
Okay. Any questions for the budget? So just to review and summarizing, your budget comes in at a loss. Did I get that right? Because I was switching phones. At the end of the year, you're going to be... Go ahead.
Well, we didn't have a loss in 2018, but we had a loss based on the potential for what we had. And with the foundation's debt, we have to take that into consideration, which makes this budget that we've done right on the dollar, right on the dollar. But we consider it a loss. I mean, it could be in the red if we can't make the money based on the budget that we are recommending. But our hope is that this budget that we've mostly agreed to, if the LSB accepts it, it's one where we can make up that deficit.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else on the stack for KPFT's budget? Okay, thank you very much. So let's go to the next station, which would be WBAI.
Okay. Things regarding the budget are pretty much where they were for the last NFC meeting. Part of what's happening is that I have not had telephone or any internet access. We dumped Verizon for internet a few days ago, and we are back online now. The draft budget that was given to the local finance committee by the general manager projects revenue that doesn't seem like it's panning out. Over the years, we've kept reducing the daily tally, which is mostly what we're going by. And the daily tally for the FY19 budget that was submitted was $9,500 a day. Well, for the summer on-air fundraiser that was done in August, WBAI, the daily tally was under $6,000. We are about a week into the current fall fundraiser, And unfortunately, the daily tally for this one is just under $5,000. We're seeing some really, really poor days of tally. And the concern here is, well, one, we are going to have a deficit budget here. It's not going to be a surplus at all. But the general manager's figures look like it's going to be even worse than he's projecting, because he has a larger revenue than we can see. And also, the station is really pitching so many days. We should not be pitching 140 days or more. In one calculation, it turns out we had to pitch 150 days to make the revenue, and that's really bad. And that's with a revenue that we haven't been making in the past two thons here. So there are a lot of questions on this, and the general manager didn't show up to the last local finance committee meeting. So we're trying to get it together with him to come to a meeting and see if we can manage to reach some understanding on this, which is going to give us the reality of it, because although we're not going to come up with a surplus, it is important that we not underreport the deficit, because if you underreport your deficit, you just make things worse. So that's the status of the BAI FY19 budget at this time.
Maxie, okay, would like to be on the deck.
Oh, who was that?
Maxie would love to be on the deck.
Okay, anybody after Maxie? Okay, go ahead, Maxie.
My question is specific to BAI, but it can extend to KPFT, KPFK, and the remaining stations. And that is, along with the pledge drives, which I understand we do in excess to nauseam at some of the stations, and there certainly is an issue with return on investment when you spend that much time to wear your listeners out. But do we have any major donor direct mail campaigning going on? Do we have any systems to cultivate major donors? Are we offering sustainer packages in our membership drives? I'm asking this question semi-rhetorically, but it plays into the notion of, as I stated earlier, best practices in the area of development. And so I'm just curious, with BAI in particular, but this obviously could extend to the rest of the stations on the call and even archives. Are any of those practices in action?
Okay, who's going to go on the queue to answer that? Mansoor. Anybody else? Okay,
yeah,
Mansoor,
can I answer?
Okay, R. Paul, you go first. Go ahead, and
okay.
Then Mansoor.
Regarding sustainers, yes, at BAI, it's called BAI Buddies. Management has been pushing that a lot, and we're hoping that will work out well. Management has kind of projected a lot of optimism for how that's going to work out, but it does help. Regarding major donors, I'm not sure exactly what we're doing in that. There are like off-air fundraisers, which are okay, but, you know, they're not going to float much of anything. We're not talking about giant amounts of money coming in from that, especially when you put the net revenue against the effort. One of the things that management really thinks we're going to do well on, but which, of course, cannot be put in the budget, is bequests. There are a number of bequests, we are told, which are coming, and he's hoping that we'll end up maybe even being in the black from the bequests. I will also say that there is there's a little bit of a dispute in Pacifica about who gets credit for any bequests. So who knows? We may get a whole lot of bequests and not even see anything credited for us. But
I'm
yeah, so some of that stuff
issue.
Is being done.
Yeah,
so
I'm
some of that is
bequest issue. I'm familiar
okay.
with the request issue, so thanks for that.
Okay, Mansoor.
Yes. Yes to all your questions. our general manager, whom you should talk with regarding this issue more in detail, is right on top of it. And I think overall in Pacifica, that's what we're seeking out. But, you know, in few degrees separation one from another station. But it doesn't mean that it cannot be reinforced and brought up again to how to implement those best practices. Thank you.
Okay, Mansoor is from KPFK, Maxi. I'm from KPFK also. And I know historically about 3 years ago, I think that it was the executive director, the interim executive director, tried doing a major donor or a mailing to a purchase list. But I don't believe it was successful. I'm sure somebody at the national office can update you on that. And it's been this is like anecdotal information. Development directors have to be professional. It takes time for them to build up enough rapport with donors to cultivate their major donor lists. And we haven't had much success with that. Usually the development directors at different stations wind up taking on other tasks, and they become producers or social network managers and so forth and so on. And that's happened at KPFK and BAI and other stations. We do have somebody pulling together major donor lists out of KPFA, and we can do the same at KPFK. But it's a question of having the right amount of discipline and professionality or the professional attitude to run a major donor campaign correctly, as opposed to just saying, like, well, here's the phone number, go ask them for some money. So I think the developers have to be either trained or they were trained or they get trained or they have a record of success. So but as Mansoor pointed out, we do have requests that come in. Sometimes they go like $500,000 or $1 million, you know, and they come time to time. But we don't really have much of a periscope on that, because you don't really hear about them until the will is evaluated. So, and we do also have, but what we do have is a resource that is not really being adequately exploited, is we do have contact with a lot of celebrities in the arts, you know, because they align with our progressive viewpoints. So that's a resource that can be used I don't mean directly, but that's a resource that can be used indirectly to get access to major donors. So that was my comment about that. That's all.
Thanks for the clarity. That's great. Appreciate that.
Sure. Anybody else on the stack talking about BAI's budget? Okay, so we're going to go to WPFW's budget.
Thanks.
Is that Nick, right?
This is Nick Arena. As far as the 2019 budget, we have not passed that budget yet. We have reviewed it in the Finance Committee. We'll review a draft of it in tomorrow's LSB meeting and look to have that passed in the November Finance and LSB meetings. What was provided was the 2018 budget, which we had shared back in both November, December, January, February of this year. And we've been managing ourselves to that budget of 2018 and have been on budget and ahead of budget almost all year. The big things for us are expenses associated with a transmitter upgrade and implementation and installation project that I'm sure, Maxie, that you will be discussing with the station manager, Jerry Paris. Our process has been working very well locally on developing budgets over the last three fiscal years of working with the Finance Committee and the General Manager and the part-time accounting help that we have at WPFW, even though we don't have a business manager. Barry Brooks has done a very good job of filling in a lot of the accounting role for the station. And but we do not have a business manager at WPFW. We have used for fiscal 19, just as a bit of an insight to it, we used the 2018 and to a certain extent a little bit of 2017 actual budgeted income and expenses to come up with the budget for 19. We feel pretty good about what we've been able to accomplish in 2018, and I feel like there's a reality around both revenues and expenses. And we will continue to update that over the next couple weeks, and then we'll have that approved. But the relationship between the finance committee, the local station board, and the general manager and the accounting staff at PFW is very good, and we're working in partnership to achieve that. To answer the question about the various types of fundraising that we do, there's obviously most of it is considered listener support, even though we don't really have a good breakdown of that. But we have cultivated a group of major donors that have helped us with our transmitter project and throughout the year. We do have a focus on sustainers in both all the pledge drives as well as some focused pledge drives, and we've had some success with the local station board and other events off air fundraising at the various music venues and cultural events around Washington, D.C. that have been successful for us. So we do approach it in a multifaceted way of being able to drive revenue, but like all stations, most of it comes from listener support. We have taken up mailings, but most of our mailings are targeted at those members who have not given during the fiscal year, to remind them to give and to go to other lapsed donors to remind them of their giving versus doing what would, you know, the direct mail of a larger
sure.
population that isn't aren't our either current or most recent donors to the station.
Okay. Thank you, Nick. We're running out of time. I just wanted to ask, since we have representatives of most of the stations, this is just one thing on the budget and finance. KPFK has implemented a dial text to donate program. I'm wondering, it's not yet fulfilled itself very significantly, although we have mentioned it over the air frequently. I'm wondering if the other stations have also done that. Any of the other stations have a text to donate program going? Our Paul, Nick?
We do. We
yes,
do.
Yes, WBAI. Oh.
Go ahead.
Am I going? Who has four? All right. Yes, WBAI has that. It's pasted up on the wall in what passes for master control, and so I don't think we push it a whole hell of a lot, but it exists. Yes.
Okay, and what about you, Nick? Do you know if WPFW has a...
We do, and we do put it in the pitches during the membership drives, but our listenership tends to go to a calling and giving online versus the texting.
Okay, PK, does KBFT have a text-to-donate program? PK?
It is... my understanding working, but I need to check with John Freeman to make sure of that.
Okay, thank you. We're out of time. If there's anybody else on the queue, I just wanted to let Maxie know one technical thing. Barry Brooks, who's operating out of the KPFK offices,
is assisting, he's the business manager for KPFK, but he's also assisting with the financial activities at WBAI and KPFT. Is that correct?
No, WPFW.
WPFW and WBAI, and of course, KPFK. So that's just for your point of information, and you'll be getting his contact information now that we have the real email address for communicating to you.
Okay. I am familiar with Barry's role, and I appreciate your hard work, man. So I look forward to talking to you.
Thanks,
okay,
man.
Very good. So if somebody wants to make a motion to adjourn, because we're at...
Motion to adjourn, Mansoor.
Okay. Any objections? Okay, once again, Maxie Jackson, good to have you on board.
Okay. Thank you, and I'm honored to have been on the call. Thank you.
Okay. Meeting is adjourned.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.